Hello, hello.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to another edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program.
I'm Mike the Barber.
I think I'm on this mic.
Oh.
I think I'm on mic 4. Is that right?
Talk into it.
Is that one working now? Hello, hello, hello. Is this mic working?
Yep, that's you.
Yeah. Hey, everybody.
I guess I'm one.
Good evening.
We've done this before.
Welcome to another edition of, what's this show?
The Ragged Antique Master... Phonograph.
Master plan
with your
master
host.
Master Phonograph Plan.
DJ Mac and Mike the Barber coming to you live from WFMU Studios in Jersey City.
That's right. We got some CDs. We got some shellac. We got nothing in between.
No, that was shellac there, you heard. The original.
That's right.
1917.
Was that Edward Hamilton?
Yeah.
Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile, smile. The next lyric is, while you've a Lucifer to light your fag, hair boy, that's the style?
Because fag was a cigarette.
Yeah, so Lucifer, maybe is that a match?
Yeah, match or a lighter if you got a light, got, you know, something.
Lucifer. Where's my Lucifer?
Right. I mean, they're in the trenches, it's hard enough, but, getting a
right.
lit.
And these songs are now... pretty much at the 100-year mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Revving everyone up for World War I.
Yep.
Woohoo!
Yeah.
Let's get in there, boys.
That was probably one of the songs that was in the... they even did this in World War II, I know, because my grandfather told me this. They give them sheet music. Little books, you know, that they could put in their shirt pocket to sing along while they're, you know, marching.
Yeah.
I mean, especially the infantry that's going for miles with the packs on their back and everything. So
this was a decidedly more British one. This
totally.
One.
Yeah.
Just like It's a Long Way to Tipperary, but
right,
that one kind of made its way back here a little bit.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Let's stick in the military vein here. I'll go to the U.S. Marine Band with a short one of Scott Joplin's Maple Leaf Rag.
All right. Thank you.
Billy Murray up in the front of that group there, American Quartet.
Yep. More of that World War One. God, I was going to say propaganda. I mean, that's not the right word.
Not really.
Nationalism.
Nationalism.
Yes.
Well, it was pro. They wanted everyone on the same page.
Sure.
You know, there was no, we're all in this together. And, you know, you've seen our posters.
And you saw the Sedition Act. So if you say anything right. against the war, right. we'll throw you in jail.
Right.
And if you don't give us a, if we don't we'll come to your house nicely to ask for support for the war, if you don't give it to us, we'll be back at night with some more unsavory characters who will convince you a little more firmly.
But people were and I guess this happened in both world worlds, that people were willing to give up some of their, not even luxuries, but some of their necessities or conveniences just to say that we're in it together.
Yeah.
We're in it to win.
That was the whole idea, to get everyone to right. I think
it's hard to replace
part of it, to get everyone like, we're in this together, we're going to fight together, let's do it.
Yeah, it's an interesting notion. It's an antique notion on itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was from 1917.
Because I have an opinion. I disagree. I disagree.
No one cares.
No one... I've got an opinion.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let you speak it, but then I'll make up my decision. You know, at least I'll hear you out. Hear everyone
never
out.
Never mind. Right? I'm going to withhold my opinion.
Okay. So what do we got to say? Should we just carry on with the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got next? We're kind of switching off here.
I wanted to go to a slower number by Byron G. Harlan.
Oh. You know, one of his child ballads?
Yeah, kind of. Sort of. I mean, it's a Paul Dresser tune that we all know from more of an up-tempo version of My Gal Sal.
Okay.
But it was originally written as a ballad. And I'm sure, are you familiar with this original, the Byron G. Harlan version?
I don't know if I know his version.
It's, again, it's, you know, we think of My Gal Sal as like this up-tempo kind of jazzy number, but goes back to about 1907. And the original Sal, supposedly, was actually the madam of a brothel in Evansville. Mm-hmm. Whom Paul Dresser, the writer, had an affair with, eventually broke off, but somehow supported members of Dresser's family after he died, because he died months after this song came out.
Evansville had the best brothels.
That's what I hear. I knew you would like that fact.
Yeah.
But there's something about Byron G. Harlan's voice that he's just that perfect tenor and has that ping quality in his voice.
Does he sound like he's crying in this one?
Yes, he always sounds like he's crying, yeah. And it kind of makes me want to cry, too. It breaks my heart. So let's hear the original My Gal Sal, just to slow things down, just a touch.
Okay.
I could just hear the tinkling of the keys in between, you know, each line in the chorus. I wanted him so bad.
I can imagine that scene, too, of him standing holding his hat while he's singing it.
Yeah.
Perfectly erect.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not moving at all.
Right, and just walking on. I've said this before, but the idea of, like, this, you know, big-bellied man just walking on stage and singing it, just like you said, to, like, a bunch of men that may even not either two things. They'll either be paying attention and they're like crying with them and just totally pulling out handkerchiefs and they're just like crying in their beer and going nuts, or not listening to him at all, but he's just projecting, you know, with all of his heart, you know, sans microphone. But I think it's such a great little number in typical
great sound.
Yeah, great sound and great you know, typical Harlan type of song, and Paul Dresser's last song that he wrote. So, yeah, I always kind of like that one.
It's a nice one. It feels, I don't know, it had a really nice live quality to the sound.
Of, yeah.
It almost sounded like a small band, about five people. And I can just imagine them in a small room.
Yeah, but a beautiful, I think it was almost kind of, you know, old-fashioned sounding by that point even. It sounds more like an 1890s kind of ballad.
Yeah.
You know, with the waltz tempo to it.
It's almost a nostalgia tune
totally.
For the old folks.
Yeah, right. Even before the 20s, they were already yearning for the 1890s.
Sure. This everything's speeding up with this jazz music and everything. Can't we go back to the good old days?
Right. 10 years ago. Everything's like
quadrilles
10 years ago. Who said that? Oh, it's going to come to me later, but someone said, of course things were better 30 years ago. You were younger.
Right. True that.
All right.
True that.
So let's carry on. What do we got?
Moving on. I like to play talking records once in a while. And, of course, Uncle Josh was the country rube. You know, we would always hear him talking about his troubles with all sorts of things. But there was Joe Hyman, who was Cohen.
Hyman or Heyman?
Heyman?
I think it's Heyman.
Oh, maybe. You're right. Heyman. H-A-Y.
Heyman. But he could have been. I mean, with could the voice. Been. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as Cohen, he would have his issues.
Right.
So, now, Mike, you're a well-dressed guy.
Sometimes.
Did you ever call your tailor on the phone?
I don't even call him by his name, let alone call him on the phone.
Well,
I have called him. Actually,
how did
you
get instructions from
you? What? I actually have called him on the phone, and, you know, they don't. There's so many clients, they don't know you by name, so then you got to describe yourself really quickly. So, oh, it's the young guy with the little mustache and, you know, thin, short guy.
Oh, yeah, the candy stripe.
Yeah, I know you. Okay.
Well, we're doing the record now instead of...
I know, that's true. We should let Heyman do the record himself.
Let's hear how he handles it.
All right, here's Cohen calls his tailor on the phone.
Hello. Hello. Say, are you Levi the tailor? The tailor, not the sailor. Levi is the name, yes. How do you spell it? You spell it with two L's and an H. The N is silent like the Y in milk. Yes, Levi the tailor. Who are you? You are exchange? What do you want, exchange? I want my tailor, Levi. Oh, what number? My excuse. The number is 1234, he's cheap. Yes, he's cheap. Oh, I know he's cheap. That's why he's my tailor. He's cheap, 1234. Saying, if you can't get me 1234, get me 5678. Hello? Is that you, Levi? I want to know, am I speaking to Levi or to myself? Because I want some clothes. I want to know when I can come down to measure myself. Are you still living where you used to live before you moved to where you are living now? Where have I been lately? Well, the reason I don't come to you no more for clothes is because the last suit you done me for was a bad fit. Yes, a bad... I didn't tell you to take a fit. I said the suit was a bad fit. It looked like a convulsion. What was wrong with it? Oh, nothing, only it didn't fit me. The trousers were too tight around the neck, and the legs of the trousers were too short. Yes, the trouser legs were too short. I cut them off 3 times, and they're too short yet. And you know that strap you put on the back of the waistcoat? Yes, you didn't put it there, so it's missing. And the coat, not the goat. No, I look the goat. The last time I wore the suit out. Yes, I wore it once, but only once. I wore it on Guy Fawkes Day. And believe me, I looked the part. This time I want a suit to wear. Wear, not tear. I got a fine idea for a waistcoat. Say, listen, Levi, you can make the waistcoat with two fronts. One front at the front and the other front at the back. That's it. Fine idea, eh? They'll make the trousers the same way. Now, about the goods. Check. I paid you the last suit, didn't I? You think the check suits? Personally, my checks always suit. Ain't they always dishonored by the bank, Levi? Oh, you mean a check suit? Yes, Levi. Say, listen, believe me. The more I speak to you, the less you know. But I shouldn't speak so much and you'll know more. Say, I'll tell you, Levi, I think it's better if you'll call at my office when I ain't in. Then I can insult you better. Call Tuesday. Tuesday, that's right. I'm certain to be out. Goodbye, Levi. We'll be right back.
That was a great one, right?
Yeah, what was that one?
That was new to us. That was Benny Carter in 1928 doing Charleston is the best dance after all.
Yeah, that was the best Charleston song I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think so, probably because there were no lyrics, so it had less of a corny kind of aspect to it. But hot, I think, yeah.
Was it hot cymbal choking going
on
there.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. I think you share my opinion on this. Is sometimes you'll tell people about the music you play and everything, and they say, oh, but don't you get bored of it because, you know, you don't hear any new music. But if I haven't heard it before, it's new to me.
Right.
Right? It's new to you. I mean, it's a new song.
It's like when kids are discovering the old music of, like, the classic rock and stuff.
It's new to them.
It's all new.
It's a new song.
Absolutely.
So,
Joe Heyman before then, you know, Shelley Berman passed away last week.
Yeah, I heard.
Great comedian, and one of his things was doing comedy routines, and one of his main things on the telephone with, you know, no one listening,
right,
and him just doing his lines, and he became famous for that, and
right,
here we have Joe Heyman doing it 40-50 years earlier than that.
You know, it's funny also connecting that people have said Larry David does a great phone conversation, you know, on Curb when he's not really talking to anyone.
Right.
And I wonder, because Shelley Berman was playing his father on the show, I wonder if he was kind of inspired by some of his earlier acts, because he does it well. You actually think someone's on the other line.
Yeah. I mean, Shelley Berman was such a larger-than-life comedian. What he created was a whole new thing, and Larry David's of the perfect age to have been seeing that and buying his records and so on.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, moving on.
Moving on. I was actually going to bring this one, and you beat me to the punch. I like this one a lot.
Well, this is what I call like one of the Stairway to Heaven songs of the period. You know, it's, if you're going to know some songs of, you know, if I was going to pick songs from every decade as the, you know, whatever.
A good 15, representation.
Representation of each decade. This song, By the Light of the Silvery Moon, would definitely be there.
Oh, I thought we were doing Beans.
Oh, sorry. Beans.
Of course, that one. I was going to say, wow, you're really giving a lot of credit to Beans.
I'm totally... Mike, we're going to play a song.
Okay.
It's not that song. It's not the Stairway to Heaven.
Don't worry, but we're going to get to that because we still got another half hour. So
we're going to get to that one.
Keep percolating. This one's written by Elmer Bowman and Chris Smith.
Right. Gus Van, Van and Skank, doing one on his own here. Beans. I actually saw a short film actually recently about beans.
It was it wasn't a comedic thing?
It featured a phonograph, though, too.
Okay.
The thing was, the young couple couldn't afford a phonograph.
Okay.
But then they meet this neighbor who says, I got my phonograph with trading stamps.
Uh-huh.
So they go by this store, and the store says, double trading stamps when you buy beans. And they're like, you know, we'll take 10 cases. And he does it, and she does it.
Yeah.
So then they're like, you know, get all these beans, and they get the phonograph. They're all happy, but then they got to eat beans every night.
Right.
And they're not very happy.
They're not. And Gus Van wasn't very happy about it either.
I guess
not. I think of the scene in Blazing Saddles, though, of course.
Oh, of course, that bean scene. The bean scene.
There's many bean scenes.
Okay. So let's hear this.
Here's Gus Van going at it solo in April 16th, 1918. He'll tell you all about it. Beans... Beans, beans.
Good morning, Jeff. I'm here again for you and your jurymen. Yeah, give me a chance, and I'll explain why I deserted Eva. I would and give her everything to pay for food and pay house rent. Her way filled me with discontent. Well, I just naturally thought it best to leave her. For she's my lawful wedded wife, that's you. Sit over here, Judge. How would you like to have handed to you? Beans for your breakfast, beans for your lunch, beans at supper time. Boiled beans, stewed beans, baked beans, beans made, no You never have ham, chicken or lamb, green gathered steel. My home I admired just, but I got tired of eating beans. A nice pepper roast, that's good and sweet. Pork chops and steak, I love to eat. Just so sweet, it's a Nestle treat. While sitting at my table, have liver, beef, and so is steel. Disgusted, yes, yeah, that's the way I feel. I must have meat along with my meal, especially when I'm able. Believe me, married life ain't always bliss. And it's not just you with yourself if you got this. Steam for your breakfast, steam for your lunch, steam their supper time. Boiled beans, soup, steam, stew, steam, big beans, steam made of time. You never have ham, chicken or lamb, green jazzy steam. My home I admired just, but I got tired of eating beans.
A bonny hill and lassie, if you seen her, you would fancy her as well. I met her in September, popped the question in November, so I'll shin her out to myself. Her father, he's contented, I'm feeling quite contented. I've went and sealed the bargain with a kiss. And I'm sitting weary, weary, when I think about my dearie, and you'll always hear me singing this. I love a lassie, a bonny, bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny purple heather, Mary Muscat's bluebell. I love a lassie, a bonny, bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny purple heather, Mary Muscat's bluebell. I love a lassie, a bonny healing lassie. I could sit and let her tease me for a week. For the way she keeps behaving, I never pay for shaving. She rubs my whiskers clean off with her cheek. And right underneath my bonnet, where the hair was, there's nane on it. For the way she pats my head has made me bald. I ken she means nae harm, to keep me nice and warm on the frosty winter nicht that's awfu' cold. Oh dear me, I love a lassie, a bonny, bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. And she's as sweet as the heather, the bonny purple heather, Mary Muscat's bluebell. I love a lassie, a bonny, bonny lassie. She's as pure as the lily in the dell. She's as sweet as the heather, the bonny purple heather, Mary Muscat's bluebell.
You kind of digged it, didn't you?
Yeah.
How many versions of that song did he do?
Oh man, that was like his Some of These Days, you know, to Sophie yeah. Tucker, Over the Rainbow, to Judy Garland.
Over and over.
Harry
and over.
Lauder had it. Well, he first introduced it in 1905. It was in Glasgow's Christmas pantomime show. And then shortly after, came over to America, set sail with his son John, and spent 5 weeks stateside touring. Huge success. Unqualified triumph, Mr. Harry Lauder.
And totally established the caricature of the Scotsman.
Yeah, the Warner Brothers cartoon took it over.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who it is.
But I actually have his autobiography. I think he wrote just one, and it was in the 20s. His son, John, passed away in World War One. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you knew that, but right. And then he went on. He was doing support for the troops there and everything.
That's when he became Sir Harry Lauder.
Yes, yes.
And he was knighted for his work in supporting the troops.
Yep. I went to a museum in Edinburgh, and they had a lot of Harry Lauder memorabilia and some paintings that he did.
Self-caricature.
Oh. Yeah, he had like this famous self-caricature that was pretty cool. So,
what did they have of his stuff?
I think it was a self-portrait. I'm trying to remember it. I took some photos of it. It was a couple of years ago. Something like that.
Shillelagh? Not a shillelagh.
It's cane kind of thing. I mean, this was in Edinburgh, not in Glasgow, so maybe he's got more over there. But it was nice to see something like that, because I don't think there's anything in New York Harry Lauder related, really.
Yeah.
If there is, please let us know.
Right.
We run tours.
What happened with the Ziegfeld stuff that was inside the Ziegfeld Theater?
Private collection.
Burt Williams gloves.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's right. Yeah, the Ziegfeld Theater. But that in
Fanny Bryce stuff too.
Yeah, but that in itself was like an homage to an early time, because that theater didn't come up till the '60s. That movie theater.
Right.
But Ziegfeld.
So like it was the original. Spot.
Right. Right. But Ziegfeld's daughter was at the grand opening of it. I know. Mm-hmm. And that was a shame that went down.
I wonder
down.
If they're gonna retain that for the condo it's gonna become.
Yeah, maybe they'll put that in the lobby. You'll see the doorman wearing Burt Williams gloves.
And the concierge wearing Fanny Bryce's dress.
Right.
We want to integrate this stuff somehow.
Yeah. So this is it's actually come back to life that way.
All right.
All right. Before that, we had Gus Van going at it alone, leaving his partner Skank aside to do Beans, 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 1918.
Yeah, I think there was some trombone approximations of farting going on.
Oh, it was a bassoon.
Bassoon?
That's I actually remembered that beforehand, that bassoon comes out
kind totally, of a comical way. To give you that illusion of farting.
Yeah.
Everybody loves farting.
Yeah. It's a stand-up joke.
Okay. Well, now we're going to go to that song I was sort of alluding to before.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that one of the things I hope this show has done is help reestablish some of these big songs, the big ones that were the huge hits. And it should be part of everyone's sort of knowledge of the history of American music.
Yeah.
And the song By the Light of the Silvery Moon is definitely one of them.
Yeah. I mean, it's constantly used in different formats, even if it's just like a modern day barbershop quartet doing it. I know Family Guy had it in one of their.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. Brian was singing it with like a barbershop quartet.
Mm-hmm.
You recognize it even if you don't recognize it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of those you should recognize. So here's this version by Billy Murray and the Hayden Quartets. What year is this, Mike?
This one, I got to double check and get back to you. It's so popular that we that it goes in one ear and out the other.
About 10, I think.
Shining through the trees, cast to me you, sound of kisses floating on the breeze. Act one begun, dialogue, where would you like to spoon my cue with you underneath the silvery moon? By the light
of the moon.
By the silvery moon,
by the silvery moon.
eyes. 'Cause three, you, me, preacher with a solemn looking face. Choir sings, bell rings, preacher says you'll wait forevermore. Act two, all through, every night the same encore.
By the light.
Cliff Edwards.
Oh, yes. Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah, Ukulele Ike going wild in 1925. How can you look so good?
Good one. Who's the band with him on there?
It doesn't say who the band is, yeah. but that was definitely him effing away and, of course, strumming on the ukulele. That was kind of just at the beginning of his career. I think he started his first record 2 years before that. Mm-hmm. I think in 23 was his first, but obviously was known in vaudeville before that. And that was pretty much it.
right.
We had Billy Murray.
Yeah, Billy Murray, By the Light of the Silvery Moon. I remember once I was doing a exhibition for some elementary school kids.
Uh-huh.
And what I do is I'll put on the machine, let the kids listen to it. And I was I put the machine on, I sat on the side, and the kids were listening. And then, you know, they say, By the Light of the Silvery Moon, I want to spoon. And one kid said to another, said, two spoons? He wants two spoons.
Someone get him two spoons and a pack of Jello.
I remember like him saying that. Like, I'm thinking, like, you know, kids thinking, why does the guy want two spoons?
Right.
He had no idea. I didn't correct him or anything. I just remember that little. It's just one of those little moments I remember.
Right. That's funny. Yeah.
Two spoons? He wants two spoons.
Well, I guess, I mean, people could still say that, right? That still holds up to say, I mean, people, right? When you spoon in bed.
Every night, I'm bed, like, yeah. Baby, come here, we got a spoon.
Right, we got a spoon, okay.
Spoon.
Yeah, so that's funny.
I heard it in a movie recently.
In a modern movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
This girl turned up, this guy's like, yeah, come back to bed and spoon me.
Yeah. So, okay, so they're still using that.
People
but
love
I'm
spooning.
Yeah, but I'm sure at the time that was a new phrase.
I wonder right? how the history of spooning.
We'll have to look that up. Someone's already on it. Comment on it. Comment on the board. I see we got a lot of activity this evening.
Oh, really? I haven't been looking at it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, people are into it.
Well, that's good. We're glad that people like comment. And we should probably let people know that it's going to be our last show. And
yes.
We're not going to be on the next schedule, Mike or myself.
All jokes aside, it's true. Yeah. DJ Mac and myself, Mike the Barber, will be stepping back for... whatever it is.
Everything comes and goes.
Comes and goes.
There's a cycle to everything.
We both had a good run, though.
You've had a lot of different radio shows.
I know. I've bounced around for about 10 years, and you double that. You've just been here, but you've been setting the bar.
I don't want to hear any complaints. Anyone has anything to say? I got 17 years of shows to listen to.
Yeah.
After you listen to those 17 years of shows,
then you can listen to mine.
Then you listen to Mike's, and then you could then go back to the beginning again.
Right.
And who knows what'll happen next?
Right. Or have a shot of something before you listen to it again, and it may sound like a different show.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I encourage anyone who's really wants to have any more insight into this is to go back to listen to my September 6th, 2016 show,
ooh,
which was sort of like a last show, but then
okay.
I came back again.
Right,
you know,
right.
David Bowie retired a few times.
Right.
So did Wayne Newton.
So did Fred Astaire.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm not as talented as anything.
Right. So this really may be it.
I don't know.
We'll see.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows what's going to happen next? Anytime with anybody.
But we're ending it for now.
For now.
Hopefully we end off on a good note. We got about 14 minutes left to go in the show. So who's got a next one? You got the next one lined up, right? It's Whispering Jack Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Also another 25 recording.
This is among the first Electrics and Whispering Jack Smith. Suddenly, he didn't have to be going, rah, rah, rah. He can be going, he can like get up on the microphone.
Right, right.
So he could whisper.
Not even croon to the mic, but whisper.
It's a whole new concept in
no one
singing.
Yeah, I guess no one had the success with it that he did.
No, he really couldn't do it. What does that red light mean?
stop! And the red light means stop talking.
When a red light
and play
comes on, it usually means some kind of danger.
No, it means stop.
Stop? I'm going to start the phonograph now.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Here's Jack Smith feeling kind of blue. It's quite apropos.
And I've thought it over now, sweetheart. Can't I make amends? And why can't we be friends? Life seems so amiss, going on like this, feeling kind of blue, melancholy too. What am I to do with no one to love me? I know there'll never be another for me. You will forever be my memory. Feeling kind of blue, longing just for you. Not another thing ever can replace you. And so, dear, I'll go, dear, all my life through, feeling kind of blue for you. I still cherish sweetest memories, and I want to thank you, dear, for these. Our romance, you see, was so sweet to me. And how was I to know it would end up so? Do 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 do
Was no Tiny Tim.
Yeah.
That was Eddie Peabody, Tiptoe Ooh. Through the Tulips.
Nice version of that.
Yeah.
Well. I recently saw a clip of Nick Lucas on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Really?
Doing Tiptoe Through the Tulips.
Yeah, I know he lingered through some early TV days.
Yeah.
And a little bit beyond, sort of the first guitar virtuoso.
Interesting to watch his mannerisms on the TV.
Right, right.
Which are sort of like different from stage. Are you still doing his stage thing?
Right. Yeah, could you imagine, I mean, listening to his records for a few decades and then you're finally seeing him for the first time sort of come alive.
Right.
And how exciting that probably was. Mm-hmm. You don't have that excitement build up, right? Like everyone, you can just look them up at any time. So you don't get that sort of, you know, pull, you know, and building up to... you know, kind of hoping that you'll see this person.
Yeah. Remember how we used to, like, sort of pour over the
Sorry to interrupt.
We're on the air talking. Excuse us, Samantha. anyway.
Yeah.
I remember pouring over, like, records, and, like, you know, you'd have, like, a few pictures on there, mm-hmm. and then, you know, maybe you'd magazines, but, yeah, now it's, like, all instant. It's
right.
all, like, you know, right on there.
Instant satisfaction, instant yeah. gratification.
So, anyway, just want to let people know, you know, the work that we do continues.
Yes.
Outside the radio station. You know, this was always one aspect of my working with these antique machines.
Right, just one corner.
So Mike and I are both out there. You can find me, Phonograph DJ Mac, on Instagram. And I'm soon to be celebrating my 10 years of the Antique Phonograph Enthusiast on Facebook.
Woo! How many members?
It's about 7,000 right
wow.
now.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's always fun. So, and I'll be out and about doing stuff. And so will you, Mike.
Yes.
You've got stuff going on.
I'm out there. We could drop Instagram names, right? We're still
yes.
allowed. Yeah, yeah. At Mike will cut you.
Mm-hmm. And Phonograph DJ Mac.
So, of course, we're all connected more than ever.
Yeah, and I know we'll be back doing some fill-ins and stuff here and there. And like I said, the music continues, always on WFMU.
Yes.
The best. The best.
Simply the best. So yeah. we got a setup for this last one, which I'm glad that we're ending on this one because it really is one of my favorites, early Irving Berlin song.
Yeah.
And
we heard Byron Harlan
right.
earlier here with his partner Arthur Collins.
Right.
Perhaps one of the most recorded duets
yeah.
of the vaudeville era. And everybody's doing it now.
Yeah.
Ragtime number, which sent fear into the hearts of Victorian parents.
Right, right. But, right, with their ragtime children getting out there and dancing to it.
Yeah.
So
that's it, folks. Hey. Until next time, it's your host Mac of the Antique Phonograph Music Program.
And DJ Mike the Barber.
Wishing you all a nighty night, everybody. See you around or square.
Ta-ta.
This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, online at WFMU.org and in Rockland County at 91.9 FM.